Message number 18 on the first epistle of John. Beloved radio friends, a warm welcome we give you in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving you a hearty invitation to enjoy with us the continued ministry and our study in the first epistle of John. Today we begin the reading in chapter 3 of verses 9 through 12, that we may meditate and also recall that in the last three chapters of this epistle, chapters 3 through 5, we have a definite bearing in its teaching upon the lives of the children of God in this present world. The Father is absolutely and constantly concerned as to how His children behave themselves while in the world and before the world. God the Father will not put up with rebellion and disobedience in the lives of His children, not without exercising His discipline. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth, we are told in Hebrews 13 and verse 6. So we now read verses 9 through 12 in 1 John chapter 3. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit or practice sin. For His, God's seed, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifested in the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil. We are now introduced to a special truth relating to the responsibility of all the children of God. It has to do with the manifestation of a new nature which the believer possesses. We must know and should know from the Word of God that God's own nature dwells in every believer in the Savior. For John has said, whosoever is born of God doth not, meaning practice as a habit, sin. For his seed, God's life, remaineth in him. The beloved Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 tells the believer in the Savior that he or she is now a partaker of the divine nature. We share in the life of God, a life that never possessed him before, a new life, a new nature, and a divine one. Now let one fact be made clearly evident. God never destroys or eradicates the old nature that we receive by natural birth. That nature will stay in the body of His children all through their lives on the earth. It is absolutely a false, unscriptural statement to ever say that God has completely eradicated the old nature. A dear man once stated to me that he had been saved for 40 years when I asked the question if he was a Christian. I expressed my joy on hearing his affirmative answer, saying that he had been saved many more years than I had. And this was back in 1932. Then he informed me the very next moment that he had something more. And when I asked about it, he answered, I have eradication from sin. God has taken all sin out of my heart. This surprised me. But I was more astonished when he followed up his statement by asking me, Brother, I wish you would pray for me. Well, I felt like asking him that if what he said about himself was true, he'd better start praying for me. Oh, no, no, no. God does not eradicate and destroy the old nature. He implants a new one that gives the believer a desire for spiritual things. Now note verse 9. A very controversial verse it can be. Literally, let me quote it literally from the Greek text in its meaning. Whosoever is born of God does not habitually, deliberately practice sin. For he has the seed of the new nature within him. This new nature cannot sin. Now, of course, we must and we do admit that if the believer yields to the old nature, he will stumble and he will fall. But let me read those words again. Whosoever is born of God does not habitually, deliberately practice sin, for he has the seed of the new nature within him. This new nature cannot sin. These are the literal words of meaning of verse 9. Now as we go on reading through verse 10 and through 12, John makes a contrast of the children of God with the children of the devil. And he uses Cain and Abel as an illustration. We know that Abel had faith. We know that Abel was accepted by God according to the record found in Genesis chapter 4, repeated in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, and verse 4. We also know from the scriptures that Cain did not have faith, but he tried to approach God, and he endeavored to be saved by his own good works, but he was not accepted. This too is recorded in the account of Genesis 4, and also in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. Now what John is saying, that Cain was a child of the devil. Cain was a liar. Cain was a murderer. Just like the devil. Jesus in John chapter 8 and 44, verse 44, declares that from the beginning the devil is a liar and he's a murderer. And beloved, when you see the children of the devil, they take after their father. And Cain murdered his brother, did he not? Cutting his throat without question of doubt, and the blood poured out on the ground, crying to God for vengeance. And then when God questioned Cain, he lied about it. Now, did Cain love his brother Abel? Positively not. The evidence is all against this. And John gives the reason for it. Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Now, if you really want the earliest example of the difference between the new nature and the old nature in human history, you can read it in the lives of Cain and Abel. The test of possessing the divine nature, the new nature, is not religion. For even Cain was religious. He brought an offering to God. But he did not possess a true love for God. Neither did he possess a true love for God's children, his brother. Now true Christians, they do not hate. They do not murder. Instead, they show love and seek to help others. And why? It is because of the new nature that has been implanted upon their new birth. And the true child of God will faithfully seek to remember what the words of verse 11 declare in our chapter. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And my beloved, when you take those words from the beginning, you don't have to go back to the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. What John is referring to is what was heard from the lips of the Lord Jesus. When in John's Gospel chapter 8 verse 32, I believe he said, my little children, a new commandment give I unto you, that ye love one another even as I have loved you. Oh, what an important thing it is. And the child of God will remember he is not to hate his brother. He is not to murder his brother as Cain murdered Abel. The child of God has been told from the Lord Jesus himself, we should love one another. So what we now learn is only another lesson, but an important one regarding the evidence of being a child of God while in this world. We not only practice right living, we not only do righteous deeds, but we also love. For even our Lord Jesus Christ came in love. Then he gave his life. And the Christian, the true children of God, not only believe God's love that has been received and bestowed upon them, but the believers are exhorted to love one another even as Christ loved them. May I quote the words of the Savior, by this shall all men know ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. And this is what the Father expects in all of his children while they are in this world. Now may I again, and may God bless the effort, repeat that if you are not a child of God, you can become one. God loves you. He desires that you become a member of his family, and that can be done if you will obey the words of John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died upon the cross to save you, to as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right, the privilege, the authority to be called the sons or the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Oh, the joy of being in the family of God, his child. Beloved, I'd rather be a child of God than be a child of the devil. Now, what is your choice? I hope you can say the same thing. By grace divine, thank God I am his child. Blessed Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Sanctify and bless with eternal blessing the truths that we have ministered, both to the hearts and lives of thy people, and to the salvation of the souls of any lost sinner. In Jesus' name, amen.